Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, three scenarios. The apartment building is about to collapse, but a child is still trapped in the third story bedroom. The fire chief, he has ordered everyone out. And on the edge of the yard stands a firefighter who is a father of four. He stares at the flames, and then he slowly turns his head to see a mother crying uncontrollably, being held back by the police. Will the firefighter rush in, risking his own life and perhaps orphaning his own children to save this child? It's the moment of truth. Or you've dated for 3 years, surviving your share of challenges along the way and coming out stronger in the end. You've saved up not one, but 2 months' worth of salary. Become an expert on the four C's, and you have bought the ideal cut, a sparkling diamond. With sweaty palms and fidgety fingers, you reach into your pocket for that tiny box. You drop to one knee, and you ask the life-changing question. Will she say yes? It's the moment of truth. You haven't been feeling as well as you should of late. And after a visit to the doctor and numerous tests have been administered, the nurse calls and says the doctor would like to visit with you. And after what seems like an eternity in the waiting room, you are finally ushered back to a small room. And after another lengthy wait, the white coat specialist finally opens the door and sits down on the rolling stool next to you. What's the report? It's the moment of truth. We've all had them in many and various ways, these moments of truth, those critical moments, those critical or decisive times on which much depends. With bated breath, we wait and wait as our lives, our very lives, seem to be hanging in the balance during a moment of truth. Yet there is no moment of truth greater than when our very lives are literally hanging in the balance. Such was the case with the criminal whom we see hanging on the cross today. He is about to die as his life flashes before his eyes this Friday afternoon. He's not too happy with what he sees. The movie of his life would be rated R for violence and language, there is no doubt. And he knows that the nails that pierce through his hands are pounded with the hammer of justice. He knows that the burning sensation in his collapsing lungs was ignited by the fairness of the law. "We are getting what we deserve," he said. But it wasn't the burn in his lungs or the blood trickling down his arm that brought him to this moment of truth as he hangs suspended on Golgotha. It was the what happens next. What happens when I die? And so he asks, he pleads to the one hanging next to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, I don't know how much time elapsed between that desperate request and that divine response. But no matter whether it was minutes or seconds, imagine the anguish that criminal felt as he would turn his ears to the center cross. Imagine the anguish that he felt during that moment of truth. Will Jesus remember me? Then imagine the relief when he heard these words. I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Every single word of that sentence, it gives such relief. Today, Jesus said, today, you will be with me. For someone who had sat on death row for who knows how long, for someone who had just begun one of the cruelest, slowest forms of execution, one that could extend 3 or 4 days long, how comforting that element of time must have been to this criminal. Before the sun would rise again, this man would be assured that his suffering would be done. The promises that you and I make to one another come with conditions. If this happens, then that will happen. Perhaps I'll visit. Someday I'm going to do that. But Jesus' promise of relief to this repentant sinner was not in the form of an if-then clause, nor was it preceded by perhaps or a someday. It wasn't a next month, next week, or even a tomorrow. But today, through faith, the criminal would be assured that his suffering would be over today. When we are lying on our deathbeds, Jesus says the same. For the one who looks to Calvary's center cross, death is not just the end of breath. It is the end of suffering. No more hunger, no more pain, no more tears, no more guilt, no more anger, no more envy, no more sin. Today. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. Find comfort in Jesus' other words. You will be with me. Jesus' promise is not just a promise of time. It's a promise of companionship. Imagine what that meant for this criminal. More than likely, a life of crime did not land him in the nicest company of people. Now, in the waning hours of his life, he saw people at their worst, as passerbyers spit upon him and shook their head in disgust, scorning him with their words and their glares. Imagine how emotionally deserted this criminal must have felt. That was part of it. That was part of the punishment of crucifixion. Not only was it physically tormenting, it was embarrassing and shaming. As you hung naked on a cross on one of the busiest streets so that others could heap their insults on you. But as such as this criminal wanted to escape the people around him, there was something that drew him to the man pinned on his left. There was something different about this thorn-crowned criminal, something that made him different than the soldiers and the scorners. There was something about him that made him different than all the other criminals. Instead of cursing as the nails were driven through his hands, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Instead of the charges of conviction, that convicted him to death, being hung over his head, a statement of conviction, power, and fulfillment hung over Jesus' head. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The differences between Jesus and everyone else on the hill were like oil and water, black and white, night and day. It was the difference between sin and perfection. And the Holy Spirit used Jesus as the living Word of God to work on that criminal's heart. So instead of running away from God in fear of judgment, he was drawn by his grace. And Jesus assures the criminal. Jesus promises, "You will be with me. Not behind me, but with me." Jesus' forgiveness is so complete that it allows us to be in the very presence of perfection. But how do you know that this is what's in store for you? When you're on your deathbed experiencing your final moment of truth, how do you know that very day you will be with Jesus in paradise? Well, don't lose sight of the words of Jesus that we've been looking at all Lent long. "I tell you the truth." Those are the English words. How do you translate those English words into Hebrew? It's the word you all know so well, amen. Jesus, amen. "I tell you the truth." Truly, truly, Jesus' amen makes it clear that today you will be with me in paradise. He left no room for doubt about whether or not the thief would be in heaven. And he makes it clear for you too. Today, Jesus makes it clear that when the moment comes, it doesn't matter what we have done in the past, for Jesus has said, amen. "Today you will be with me in paradise." To that, let all God's people say, amen. Amen. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.